Revelation 21, 2, 3, and 4. I'll just read those again. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great vision. And thank you, Father, that it is a part of your word. Illumine our hearts and minds that we might grasp in a more significant way than we have in the past this portion of your word, this vision, and commune with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Contrary to popular belief, the highest privilege we have in the church is not dealing with church finances. Contrary to popular belief, the highest privilege we have in the church is not coming to the annual congregational meeting and voting on the budget. I know of churches who have two tiers of membership, communicant membership and voting membership. Of course, voting is more important, right? Not according to Scripture. The greatest privilege we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is our union and communion with God and with Jesus Christ. Communion with Christ. And we celebrate that wonderful privilege in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we commonly call communion. And this morning, my desire is to look at these few verses in Revelation chapter 21 to help us better understand our communion with Christ, our union with God, and our celebration of it in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And at the head of the outline, I have this statement that has to do with our text. The text has to do with the Holy City and New Jerusalem. And the statement is, the New Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven. And I hope that you'll understand that this is the case. In her, you have fellowship with God and eat bread from heaven as you feast together in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The New Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven. And as we are in her, and as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we feast on bread from heaven and are empowered, encouraged, energized by the Lord our God for the days ahead. May God help us to understand that this is the case. Look at our text in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. The book of Revelation is a book of visions and symbols and word pictures, and the pictures are not the reality. The pictures portray the reality. And the picture here is a city, New Jerusalem, a holy city, coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride, prepared for her husband. And so you have all these pictures running together. It's kind of a collage, if you will. And we have to take it a piece at a time. Here we have a city, a holy city, the text tells us. It's a city, Jerusalem, which is set aside by God in holiness to be of service to Him. It is, in the context, the capital of the kingdom of God. I think this is the case. In the very first verse, it says that John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He sees a new creation, and the capital of that new creation is the New Jerusalem, the capital of evil, the capital of the world, the capital of the devil's system was Babylon, and Babylon was destroyed. And now we see the New Jerusalem, that holy city. And what else does the text tell us? Coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem is a city which has the character of heaven, and the picture is that of a bride adorned in a beautiful white robe indicating purity, the purity of God, the purity of heaven. And of course, that's what weddings are about. They are to portray the wedding feast of the Lamb. And when you attend a wedding, you ought to recognize and understand that that's the case. And the bride is a representation of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And as we look at the text, we get that picture. When I look at this text, I also have another picture in my mind. It's a cartoon I saw years ago. And if my memory serves me correctly, it was in Christianity Today. And it was the picture of a bride, and the groom was standing off at a distance because the dress of the bride was a little disheveled, and there was dirt on the beautiful gown. And then if you look a little bit more closely, it looked as though the bride had a black eye. And there was a bandage on her face, and there were scuff marks on her arms. And the groom, standing at a distance, was looking up to his father. This is a picture of Jesus, and he's making this comment about the church. She's been fighting again. And my heart sinks. See, that's not the picture at all that's given here. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And it's a picture of contentment and eagerness in the scene of the wedding. And it is a beautiful picture. And the bride has the character of heaven. That's part of the emphasis that we need to take from the text. And the New Jerusalem is the church. We understand that, don't we? The New Jerusalem is the church. Keep your finger there in Revelation chapter 21 and turn back, if you would please, to Hebrews and the 12th chapter, to verses 22 through 24. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 22 through 24, where the writer to the Hebrews speaks of us coming up to the New Jerusalem. That you have come to Mount Zion. That's another picture of the city. That you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. You have come to the city of the living God. This is the city of the living God. You are there. To the heavenly Jerusalem. To the new Jerusalem. It's not the Jerusalem of old, which is the city of earth, in which there is so much strife and over which there is so much strife. But it's the heavenly Jerusalem. The city that bears the marks of God. The general assembly and church of the firstborn. The idea of the firstborn here is, you will recall that in Egypt, when the children of Israel were being taken out of bondage, that all the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed. But the firstborn of the people of Israel, they were preserved, and they were preserved because they were in houses in which the blood of the Lamb was over the door and on the doorpost. And they were under the protection of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. The firstborn of God are those who are under the protection of Jesus Christ. And we are the firstborn of God. We are the church of the firstborn, those who are God's people. And that's what the text is talking about. Look again at Revelation 21:2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. The picture of the bride, the picture of the church, the picture of Jerusalem, renewed, regenerated people who gather together to worship the Lord and worship God. And we cannot help but see in the text those great words, coming down out of heaven. And of course, the picture is the city, beautifully adorned, descending out of heaven. The church of Jesus Christ is in the world in one of its aspects, and it is called the church militant by the old theologians. It's called the church militant because it's the church which is, as it were, at war with the world. There's a distinction between the church and the world. It's the church militant. And then there's an aspect of the church which in heaven is in heaven, and it's called by the old theologians the church triumphant. But these are two aspects of the church. The church in the world is not a different church than the church which is in heaven. The church which is in the world is connected to the church which is in heaven, and we are experiencing two aspects of this church. We happen to be in the world, but we know of family members, perhaps, that have gone to heaven, and we are not separated from them. We are in the same church. We are in the same body. They are in the church. They are in heaven. But we are in the same church, and we are in the world. And how does this church come into the world? Well, we think of it too often of going to heaven, of ascending and going up into heaven. But how is it that the church came into the world? Well, there's only one way that the church could come into the world. It had to come down from heaven. It had to descend from heaven. And as we are members of the church, we are participating in the glories of heaven, dear friends. That's one of the beauties of what the text is telling us. And the text, very interestingly, is not a text which speaks about the church in the future coming down from heaven, but it's in the present tense. John sees, lo and behold, the New Jerusalem descending as he speaks, descending from heaven. And the people who are part of the great and glorious body of Christ are a part of that church which comes down from heaven and grasps them in the love of God. And there is a beautiful picture which is being presented to us here. One of the things that takes place in heaven around the throne of God is the praise of God. And the people of God gathered around the throne singing the praises of God. Why do you suppose that we sing on a Sabbath day as we come together as the people of God? So that we can be part of what is going on in heaven. It's not just a simple procedure that we go through. We, too, are gathered around the throne, and we sing the praises of God as part of the choir gathered around the throne to give praises to God. That's one of the reasons that we sing. Not simply to go through a procedure. The people in the world sing their songs, and so Christians sing their songs. Sure, that's a part of it. But it's much deeper, it's much more profound. There is a connection to heaven. And we are part of the church that is coming down from heaven. And we sing praises to our God. That selection that we sang just moments ago captivates my heart. And we sing of the city of God, of which we are a part. And we are vitally connected to heaven. Again, look at our text. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them." Do you notice the corporate aspect of the text? Do you notice the corporate emphasis in the text? We are so individualistic in our thinking. We believe the essence of Christianity has to do with us as individuals. And I defy you to find in the Bible individuals cut off from one another in heaven. It is a corporate worship of God in heaven. And that is part of the beauty of it. That is part of the impact of it. That is part of the importance of it. The corporate nature of the communion that we have with God. Look at verse 3 again. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men,'" among people, plural, "and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." We are vitally, dear friends, connected to heaven. And when we come to sing praises to God, we are part of the choir that is composed of myriads of souls gathered around the throne. And we dip our toe, as it were, into heaven when we gather together. Kind of reminds me of New Jersey. that people in Kansas know a lot about New Jersey. Derek's laughing a little bit here. Or it could be California. And the ocean. And I remember times on the East Coast and on the West Coast going to get in that ocean and you taste the salt water and you swim in that ocean and you body surf on those waves and you look out into that ocean and all you see is the sea. And out there, there is a horizon where the water and the sky meet, and there's nothing else that's present. And you're just on the very edge of that great expanse. And that's what it's like for us. When we come to worship, we're just on the very edge of it, friends. And we're just getting a very little taste of it, of the glory and of heaven which is before us. And I remember those times going to the ocean because one of the things I remember is that it was a lot more enjoyable when there was a group of us going, when there was a very large group of us going. It was much more enjoyable than when I went out there to the beach by myself. And I could enjoy together with a greater company of people the wonders of that ocean. And again, I say to you, that's how it is with us as we come together. That we are together. Getting a taste of heaven. And what else does the text tell us? Let's read verses 2, 3, and 4 together. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." God among his people, as a company, dwelling in the midst of his people, as a company. That's the fulfillment. Not as individuals scattered abroad, but as a company, worshiping together. God dwelling in the midst of the people as they are together. In verse 4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Here in the New Jerusalem, there is a refuge, friends, from the stress and the toil and the pressures and the tears and the woes of this world. There is a refuge to come and enjoy God and enjoy one another. Do you remember what the Catechism says? What is man's chief end? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so we come together and we enjoy Him. And we have a foretaste of the glory which is to come when there are no more tears, no more crying, no more mourning. And I think about family members who, when they come together, what do? Big hug. You can't do that individually unless you want to hug yourself. Get your arms around yourself. You have to be with the family. And just this past week, I came in this door at the south end of our church building, and there was a family reunion going on, and one of the members of that family, when she saw me, ran and threw herself on my neck. I said, "Thank you, Lord. No more crying. No more tears. Because the family is together with God. That's the point. And the fellowship is great with God and with God's people. And you can't do that individualistically. You have to be together with God's people. I'm sorry there are some of our folks absent today for this reason. It's a corporate matter. Look at the text again. Verses 2, 3, and 4. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away." Thank you, Father, that we are getting a foretaste of that as the church, as the body of Christ, as being vitally connected to heaven, as being those who taste of the age to come because we are connected to heaven. And when we pray, it's not an idle matter. We go into the very throne room of God. And when we sing the praises of God, we are in His presence. And when we hear the Word of God as a company of people, we have the opportunity in a unique way to hear the voice of God and gain encouragement from Him. Thank you, Lord, that this is indeed the case. And I submit to you, dear friends, that since there is such a vital connection that we have with heaven, as a part of the New Jerusalem that is in the process, I submit to you, of coming down out of heaven, when we gather to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, it's not a mere memorial in which we remember what Jesus Christ has done, but we feast around the table with our God and commune with Him. And when we eat of that bread, we participate in the food of angels, bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, whom God has been pleased to give to us. And we are, in that sacrament, connected to Him vitally, spiritually, in faith. And when we drink of that cup, we not only remember the blood which was spilled on behalf of each one of us for the forgiveness of our sins, that we are brought together as a people connected to the Savior who sits enthroned on high. And we gain, friends, strength from Him. Look at the text again. I saw, John says, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away." I saw the holy city, John says. And I say to you, dear friends, you are there. You are participants in that holy city coming down from God. You are there. May God give you the grace to understand it and see the significance of it and live as those who are citizens of heaven itself. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this truth in your word, that we are connected to heaven. Thank you, Father, that as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and do it in this particular auditorium, where we are a dwelling place for you, that we might understand that we are not just going through a simple ceremony in this world, but that it has significance as we look to you in heaven and as you dwell in our midst in this world. Work in us to this end, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit and make of us, we ask, that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. We pray this in the great name of Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and not only so, but he is the builder and architect of this great edifice of which we are privileged to be a part. Hear us in his name, we pray. Amen.